I'm probably going to be standing up and wandering around and looking off in the distance while you talk, and then I'll edit it down later. The reason why I do this is because, believe it or not, people outside of the state are dying to hear this stuff. I hear from them every day. People all through San Diego who can't make it tonight really want to hear this stuff. They want to hear any kind of wisdom from as many different places as possible, because we don't have this level of conversation very often. So getting back to it, so the reason why I colored the slave tonight, what it signifies to me is that he is precious to me. He has value in my life. If someone wants to harm him or come at him in any way that is not suitable to him, they have to go through me. It is not a restriction of him. I actually use him as training material for tops here in town. Look at him smile. Yeah, he doesn't. He really doesn't mind. Okay, so what I'm saying is that for me personally, my pleasure nowadays, personally, is with the slave, but in a public way, with all of my brothers out there, tops, bottoms, switches. I want everybody to be really clear that I believe that it's going to suit everybody for me to add extra helpings to local tops that are rising in the community, to increase visibility, to make sure that they get the education, the support, the brotherhood that they need. There's going to be a lot of e-cards flying at all the guys that are showing up these days. V-cards are virtual business cards where I say, oh, there's somebody I think you should meet. And then I say, hey, by the way, this guy is going to be contacting you. He's a good guy. Like I said, it keeps increasing the energy. What you guys are going to be seeing this Friday is the harness party over at Numbers starting at 10 o'clock. You're going to see a lot of my very favorite people there. Show of hands, who plans to be there? Yeehaw. If you haven't been to that, it is incredibly, yeah, well, of course you're going to be there. You have to. It's an obligation. He's going to be one of the four horsemen, yes. But the point is that the more we have visible, wonderful tops here in town, the more we can get four guys who are hosting the harness party, and hearts rejoice all over the world when they see the pictures afterwards. So having said that, so I'm just going to pass it around. The experience is going to be different for each person. The thoughts are going to be different for each person. Whatever is so for you, that's what I want to hear. We're going to go this way. Want to skip until later?
Yes, please.
All right, let's do that. All right, go for it, John.
All right, well, I don't know. A top for me, it's kind of an evolving definition, I guess you could say. Still very new to the community, so in the past, it was just a sexual role. And now it's kind of turning into more of a something I would equate with a daddy or a master. And it's something that I definitely don't see myself as, at least not right now. Who knows, 10 years from now, as they say, sometimes, you know, excellent bottoms can become great tops. So it's something that I'm also actively seeking out right now too. I have a great partner, but there's another component of my life that I'm looking for, which is to be in service to someone. So I'm looking for a person to be in service to, and someone to mentor me in that way and teach me what it means to be a good bottom. So I guess probably the words that come to mind are mentor and teacher and master. And that's what it is for me right now.
Perfect. Thank you.
All right. Well, in terms of being a top, I've been on really a huge journey over the last few months. And, you know, before I came to this group, I would say I was mostly bottom, but I really didn't know, and I really hadn't pushed myself to really expand and really consider all of my interests and desires. Part of that was about confidence and not sure about what my place was as a top and what that meant to me. But through some exploration and through this group and through all of your support and encouragement and practice time on Tuesday nights at the demos and whatnot, I've really come a long way, and I'm finding my top side, and I know how to throw a flogger now, which I never thought I'd do. I just didn't think that would be something I would do, and I do, and it's great. I still like the bottom, because you did a good number on me last time, which was fun, and some of you have seen that photo, and that's great. So I'm not giving that up, because I do like bottom still. But I'm really finding more versatility in myself than I ever had before, and I really, it's really a lot of fun, and I'm really enjoying my continued growth as a top. So that's where I'm at.
Very good, thank you. Please. Yeah,
to me...
What is your name?
My name's Damien.
Damien, welcome.
I'm coming in from Santa Clara.
Oh, cool. Did you come in with them?
No.
No? Oh, you can ride share these days. Is Santa Clara right next door to you?
That's a bit further.
I'm kidding.
Carpool from San Juan Capistrano.
That's fine. Yeah, we have guys that come down every week.
Okay.
Very good. Continue, please.
To me, topping means the privilege of being a platform on which a bottom can go on a journey and being taken along for the ride.
Very nice. I've never heard it said that way, but it sure makes sense, doesn't it? Cool. Anything else?
That's it.
Very good. Thank you. Please.
I'm Tom, and I guess I can't explain what's going on, what's been happening with me, unless I say I got sober about almost 3 years ago, and all my sexual experience before that was with drugs and alcohol. So I've only fucked somebody twice sober, and I've never been fucked sober, and so. I don't know. It's weird because it's like it's a whole new life. And on the one hand, and on the other hand, I used to hate the roles that I used to hear in the gay community. Are you a top or a bottom? Because it felt restricting to me because I was masculine and wanted to try being a bottom. And my ex used to say, "Well, you're part Latino, so you've got all these issues about it." And I was like, "You know what? It's for you." So it's a trust issue for me. I've been a top just by default, and I was telling a friend the other day, I said, I don't know if I've ever been fucked right, so, which is weird saying out loud, it used to just be up here.
Anybody else share that feeling? Show of hands. Yeah.
So this whole thing is new. These boots I've only worn twice, and they're new, so buying all this stuff and going on the Mistreth website in San Francisco is like fascinating. There's always a package coming in the mail, and I'm like, yes.
it's a good suit.
Yeah, it's exciting to wear this stuff, and it turns me on. And one of the things that Tony mentioned on the website is wear whatever makes you hard. And I was like, it's a weird fetish, but going shirtless makes me hard. And that's weird to say out loud, too.
You're not the only one.
Yeah.
It's working for us.
Yes.
So that sounds pretty blunt, just the whole thing. But, I think being sober helps me to be more honest, too. And I've lived a dishonest life by drugs and alcohol, and I don't want to do that anymore. So this is all exploration for me. So.
Nice. Well, thank you for sharing. That's beautiful. Doesn't appear to be recording a damn thing. I don't know. Well, let's see. Hang on.
Okay, start over.
Yeah, really. Start over.
No,
I think it's fine. Let's continue. Whether it is or not, we're just going to keep going. So, please.
Okay, my name is Louie, and I just want to be a better top, and I'm a good person, I guess, but, you know, I can be selfish in bed, and you know, I think it's just time to learn to do things a little different, or, you know, explore different things. And I really like the leather community. I don't know a lot about it, but, you know, it's not, well, it's just like Tom, you know, but of course he likes to go out and buy a bunch of stuff, and I'm a little more conservative than that, you know. I just take my time, you know, things, and, you know, just kind of take it as it comes, and that's what I'm doing. But I'm glad I'm here. I like the meetings a lot. Pride's coming up. I'm very excited. I'm going to be a monitor for Pride this year, and I'm hoping that I can spend most of my time in
the very nice.
Yeah, I read your thing, and I got the guy's number, Kobe.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm going to shoot him an email after this and see if I can work just primarily in that area. Because I think it's kind of cool. Yeah,
good for you.
I'm very excited. So.
The leather gloves is fine.
I know. I had such a good time last year. I even got flogged by a lesbian, which was very scary. but I had fun.
Just as a quick aside, Louis, would you tell us what your impression of Saturday night was? Saturday was the birthday party over at the Eagle.
I've never been to the Eagle before. I'm not really a big bar person, you know. It was fun. It was a rip-roaring good time, you know. I didn't stay long, but, you know, I never do. You know, like I said, bars is not really my thing. You know, I wander around for a little while and, you know, talk to a few people and, you know, jam. So, but I had a good time.
Very good.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Thank you for sharing. Please.
I'm Gary. This is my husband, Amin. We came together. Mm-hmm. I'm not at all sure, really, if I have a clear definition in my mind of what a top is. I think I have also been, by default, a top for my adult life. I tend to have things pretty set in my head and think I know how things should be done and all of that. And so I think it comes with the territory for me. But I don't have a decision made yet whether it's something that publicly I would be comfortable with or would want to do. So I'm here to explore that and find out.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Thank you.
Amin. All right. My name's Amin. Can I skip for now?
Sure.
Great.
You weasel.
You couldn't go the other way, could you?
You'll have an opportunity later. So, Jay.
My name is Jay. And I have no idea what to say. But it's a journey for me because, honestly, I started out on the flip side. So for me to be a top, or what it means to be a top, it really means passion, being able to express your emotion, but yet in the process have an exchange of power. Respect each other's limits, but yet, you know, I guess maintain control of the situation, regardless of what it is. It's not just about sex, it's about exploration. And that's kind of vague, but that's the best way I can explain it, how it works for me.
Thank you. How about you, Alan?
I'm Alan. One thing I heard a while back, I think it was Dan Savage said it, was as far as sex goes, sex is always better when one person sort of goes after what they want. And I guess for me, that's kind of what a top is in a lot of ways. Usually the person who kind of takes control, and it doesn't necessarily have to mean anything in particular that way. I know I've always been more on the submissive side. I like somebody who takes control of things and kind of
runs the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And cares about what they're doing and not just, you know, not just using you for using you's sake, mm-hmm. but, you know, more from a caring, respectful place.
Nice. Yeah. Can everybody hear him? Okay. Just making sure. Anything else?
No.
All right. Thank you.
Well, so for me, it's a little more...
What is your name?
I'm sorry.
I'm Patrick.
Hello, sorry.
Patrick. For me, it's a little more complex. So I came from a very complex life. So just in a nutshell, because I don't know why, but I like sharing this crap, even though it's disturbing. So anyway, I grew up in a family that were two parents that were married on Harley, started their own bike gang, started a gang, and... started in child sex slavery as part of it. And I was part of that, mm-hmm. as were all the other youngsters that I knew. And so, but if you, and that's bizarre enough, so you lose your perspective of what life is as a kid. But then, it's all integrated with the most incredibly wonderful experience of being in a room full of men with leather on. Regardless of what all that other stuff was, you're just wrapped around it and everything. So you learn love in a very distorted way, but through leather and motorcycles and a lifestyle that's completely foreign to, you know, a typical person. But there's something beautiful about that in its own way, if you can just sort out all the other gibberish, right? So if you get past all that and you start to grow up and then you try to figure out what, you know, what's the top and bottom in that? It doesn't even have a relevancy. But what I value out of the leather community, and regardless of the role, because I really don't care. I mean, I want to be on the bottom or the top. I don't give a shit. I just want to be, like, wrapped in it. I tend to be top, but that's because the sense of control that I need as a survivor, right? So, but bringing something positive and bringing something nurturing and something healthy and something family, this is a family for me. So for me, it's turning anything ever that was negative in there or any sense of it into a positive and living it in any way that you can in a very positive way. And it's rich. It's really rich.
Thank you.
Nice.
Thank you.
My name is Michael. I guess I'd be the perfect definition of a switch. I'm a top who has a very aggressive asshole.
Duly noted.
It's funny. I can play submissive for maybe 2 to 3 hours, and then it's kind of over. You know, you can ask me to polish your boots. I said, well, just set them out in the back porch and let's see what happens. That said, I think my main thing, and this goes across the board, switches, tops, bottoms, integrity. I think that's one of the bases of the community is a certain honesty and integrity. People of integrity, great character, and people that are constantly working on their character. And that's something that comes up in the sexual realms a lot, because the sexual realms are more fun when there's a deep amount of respect going on. You tune in to the other person. Well, I like that of somebody else taking control. I understand that, and I find that through an encounter, I can switch back and forth as needed. And I love that exchange when that happens. So I say integrity is tops and bottoms.
Timothy, please.
Okay, I'm Timothy. And, you know, it's interesting. I always used to think top and bottom, just the semantics of who fucks who, what goes into what hole. As you guys kind of, I've been around for a while, we've talked. I'm pretty much a top at this point in my life. There was a point in my life, it was funny, I've been fucking adult men since I was 12. Before that, when I was little, I used to fantasize very much about being submissive. When I was little, my parents, you know, my mother put me down for a nap when I was a kid, and I would dream of being kidnapped by men and being stripped and being forced to live a life of naked servitude, which, over the course of my childhood, any submissive nature has been beaten out of me. I don't like being taken out of control. I don't like giving control. It's just not who I am. When I was in the military, I went through a fairly substantial period of time where I thought I was a bottom, and I went after that with all of the purpose and energy that I now go after being a top. So, wore that out. So not so much. I don't look at things as being so much top anymore or bottom, but more. I'm at this exploration point in my life where I'm exploring more things that have to do with being dominant and submissive. And I, like Tony is saying, part of that is that I'm trying to get away from that whole. There's this whole thing in the gay community about tops and bottoms and where the power is and where the prestige is. And it's like you're, a lot of people, it's like they must really believe that you're less if you're a bottom, because they act like they're just so much better because they're a top. And yet it takes two people to create an orgasm that has any sort of meaning to it. Because, you know, you can jack off. I can jack off. I do it every morning. It takes about 3 minutes before I get out of bed. You know, when I have sex and have an orgasm during sex, that takes hours, because I will do absolutely whatever I can to put it off so that I can make the play last longer. Grandma in her underwear. But wow, we just bought another half hour. Bend over. So it's kind of where I'm exploring now. It's more, and as you know, I don't even fall into that realm. I really believe that even in a power play where you've got a dominant and a submissive, the submissive is always in control, because all they have to do is pop out one word and it's done. And if you have any integrity, you talk about integrity, if you have any integrity as a top, then you know how important that safe word idea is. And, you know, people that are like, oh yeah, safe words, or people that don't listen to safe words, or people that don't believe in safe words, are idiots. I just don't believe that. So as you're playing in that whole dominant submissive role, you have to remember that the dom has a lot of power and a lot, but as much as he's being granted by the submissive who is allowing him to be as dominant as he can be, or as big and bad and mean as he can be, because, you know, the submissive can end it at any moment, and it's done, and you want to get invited back. Because, you know, it's like you said, it's like, you know, it's not so much about being in any certain role. I just want to be naked in a room full of men and enjoy that sort of camaraderie. And that's what I enjoy about the kink community. It's much more playful than people think that it is. Everybody thinks it's just beating the shit out of people and leaving bruises, and, you know, that's certainly fun. But it's that connection that goes. It's like when your boy, you know, when his eyes roll back in his head and he drifts off into subspace, and he's just like, and he takes you with him, and suddenly, you know, like all of the fight is out of you. It's just like you have reached this state where all you want to do is lay and cuddle, and I find a big exchange of power and feeling and emotion and camaraderie in just that. So that's kind of where I'm at with what I'm exploring now. And I'm exploring that. I've been doing this for now a couple of years. I have one locked slave who is a joy in my life. And I've got a newbie who's sort of in training in an unlocked collar. And part of this is that he really kind of likes this. And part of it is, as he's exploring, I am lending him my protection and my, you know, there's a certain amount of distance that people will give a submissive when he's out in public wearing a collar, and until he's really comfortable with it, maybe wants to take the collar off, or if he's really comfortable with it, maybe wants to put on the locked collar. I just, when somebody's new and they're so exploring, I think they need that little bit of buffer, just so that they get a chance to really absorb the whole experience and decide what it is that they want out of it. And so I've got one in an unlocked collar and one in a locked collar.
Very good. Thank you.
Please. I'm Joe. I think I've always known I am a submissive, and I think that there, in early experiences, it sort of was like, okay, what is going to make a top? It's like, okay, this is going to be the person who fucks me. Okay. That was the end of it for me. I probably, to like backtrack, I grew up in Fairbanks, Alaska, so not a whole big community like this. So I moved here in August. But then later, as I had more experiences, then I was able to better identify what it was that I was looking for in a top and what made a good top for me. And that seemed to be so much less about mechanics and so much more about attitude and so much more about the kind of energy that they were bringing into a dominant role and how I knew innately that I wanted to submit to that and then to please this person and to be responsive. In more recent relationships, it felt like I have been pulled into more of a top role and have had to get into my dominant side, which I didn't really know was there. And that was a lot of fun, but I'm really glad and feel more like I'm being my authentic self when I am exploring this submissive role. And so this being the sub is something that I choose and that I love and that I want. And so, yeah, let's make some more great tops.
I got him on the cooker. Yeah. John, please.
Hi, my name is John. I am a domineering top at work. I am a domineering top with my partner, who I've been with 11 years. But moving to the other side of the spectrum, I so relish serving and satisfying my master, it doesn't get any better.
Yay. Yes. Very
nice. Thank you, John.
Scott. Good evening. My name is Scott. Most of what I was going to say has been said before, and a hell of a lot better than I could extemporaneously say, so thank you, gentlemen. I guess the summary is that when I started, you know, growing up, the top was the what was the male, what was dominant, what was masculine, and the bottom what was the receiver, and that is so limiting. there's just so much more to do, and so it has changed to for me to be more that the top primarily is the insertive partner and the sub or the bottom would be the receiver. Okay, even that is limiting. At least it is for me, because having the energy go back and forth, particularly if you have a good connection. One of the things that makes it more juicy and I relish more is the interplay. Back and forth, and I'll do something that he likes, and get him all spun up, and then I can kind of coast a bit and get some of that back, and back and forth, and find out where the buttons and knobs are, and it's not really, you know, at times I will be in control, but then it's fun to step back and let the other person take a little bit of control or to guide things. And mainly it's about having fun, but for the definition that I have used in the past, and I know I'm repeating myself, being a top, the stereotypical top is kind of limiting. There's more to do, and certainly. I am okay with giving up giving up control at times, and it doesn't. As somebody was saying something about the status of the tops are more exalted, and at the higher end of power, that's not necessarily true for me. And also, like what Timothy was saying, if the other person can stop it at any time, so who really does have the power? And so it's ongoing for me, but certainly what it means to be a top is certainly a much broader and more perhaps nuanced definition and way of being than what I thought 20, 30 years ago.
Thank you.
Please. My name's Mike. I've only been kind of exploring this whole realm for about 7 or 8 months. I'm not really comfortable with the idea of dominating and submitting, because I have a hard time trusting men. I enjoy in everyday top and bottomness, I enjoy the exchange. It's, you know, if I want to wrestle you to the floor, great. If you want to wrestle me to the floor, we can do that too. I'm totally cool with that. A little bit of aggressive play is fun coming from either side. When it comes to the dominance and submission, I enjoy the play. I like the flogging. I like the needle play. I like, you know, some, I, you know, the bondage. I really like that, but I don't necessarily see that as opposed to being submissive to another person in terms of doing things for them or doing their will or whatever it is. It's more like I finally have a chance to just release my breath and just completely relax into the sensation and just experience it and not worry. I've only found one man in my entire life that I completely trust. I wear this for him. Unfortunately, he lives in Washington State, so I don't get to see him very often. I call him my Papa Bear because Dad doesn't feel good. His master doesn't feel right. He's more my mentor. He's my buddy. He's really experienced at what he does, and he's very compassionate. But he has taken me places that pushed me right out of my head and into these huge cathartic crying messes. But because that's the kind of experience I'm looking for. I just can't give that back yet to anybody because I don't know enough yet. But that's what I would like to be able to do, is exchange that, be able to give that kind of experience to someone else somewhere down the road. So, like, this doesn't mean, it doesn't mean I'm submissive to him, though I would probably take a bullet for him. I would do anything for him because I trust him completely. But I don't see that as being submissive. I see that as I love him very deeply. It's not romantic. But I care so deeply about this human being because he's done so much for me. And I'm feeling kind of weepy just saying that. But anyhow, that's where I am. I would love to explore this more. It's just so hard to find somebody who's willing to take on someone like myself who isn't really willing to submit and, like, polish your boots, you know, and clean your house. I mean, I'm not interested in that. You want to tie me up? Okay. I'll play. You know, I'm good. But I'm not going to cook your dinner. So that's where I am.
Thank you. Now, just as a quick aside, where are you coming from? Where you live?
I live in Costa Mesa, Orange County.
Very good. Thank you. Perhaps you guys should exchange information during the break. Save some gas. All right. Please.
I'm Brian. I think to top is to lead. And as a leader, you can get where you want to go, I guess, no matter what. But it's kind of lonely if you get there and your follower doesn't want to come along anymore and is gone. So to be an effective leader or top, you have to be able to, you know, make people want to come along. So understanding what they want and what you want and where you can bring people together and bring people along is kind of needed. I think thinking about to top as a verb rather than a top as a noun is also a nice way to look at it. A person doesn't have to, like, be like, I'm a top. Like, you can jump into either role. Like, you can top as a verb or bottom, but you don't have to be one. I think if people think of it as an identity and, like, as the noun, then it can limit. But if you think of it as a verb and it's something that you do, then you can do something else too, and that can be kind of more freeing in a sense.
I think we touched a nerve with that one. Good. Anything else?
No.
Okay, that's fine. So please.
I'm Ronnie, and I'm going to pass.
All right, very good.
Thought I had a couple more minutes to work something out. So my name is Ian, and I guess I do define the person who to me would be a top as a mirror to my own wants, needs, desires, exuberance when it comes to play. I don't in the foreseeable future ever plan on being someone's collared boy or slave or anything like that. So I'm a free agent submissive, is what I can call it. But during that exchange, I guess that I do look at the top or the dominant. There are some criteria for me. A, they need to be a gentleman first. And that's something that I've come to expect out of respect for myself. I don't feel the need to serve someone that I don't feel is worthy of having myself be submitted to them. I mean, that's pride. I'm not a cringe. There are different types of submissives, I guess different reasons that people are submissives. I'm a very proud and exuberant submissive. I take great joy in such services I can give. It's not something, I have great self-esteem and all that sort of stuff. So a gentleman and a respectable person is important to me. But and then the second piece, again, is a mirror to me, is I do want that, the joy in the exchange. It's not just about one person beating someone down. It is about that sort of power exchange. And when they can look you in the eye, you can look them in the eye and you can say, you both love being in that moment. That means that, to me, the top is doing something right. I understand the basic idea of top and bottom, but I do like the word nuance, that I'm creating in my mind a more nuanced exchange that I expect to happen. So that's all.
Thank you. All right, so how about we take a short break? Okay, getting it started again. Just so that you guys know, yes, I am recording this, and I'm going to continue to do so. But the reason why, like I said, people are starved to hear from you. You may think that what you share isn't all that big of a deal. It is. Because nobody knows what causes that little bell to ring in your heart saying, oh my God, it never occurred to me. That makes sense. I see it now. And it can be a throwaway comment from any one of us. And that's why I think I'm going to keep doing this. You know, I'm sorry if it makes you feel uncomfortable. I notice we've had a lot of people skip this time around, which is a little unusual. And I'm sorry for that. But please be aware that we're keeping it pretty damn anonymous. We're just going by first name. But you have to understand there's a larger world out there. When I post something like this, within 48 hours, there'll be 800 page hits from all over the planet. From Jordan, from Saudi Arabia, from Germany. A lot of people in the military. You know, a lot of places, you know, Germany, tons of people in Germany, and Russia, and Portugal, and all over the world, especially all over the United States. They really want to hear, because I've used this metaphor before, but San Diego, imagine every major city on earth with the leather community having a spotlight. Well, the spotlights are all turned on San Diego. The reason why is because we have got things going on that other people are aspiring towards in terms of being more comfortable with the different generations, being more diverse, being more forward-thinking instead of past, you know, looking towards the past. So everything that you guys can contribute is helping to build a better world. And I'm sorry for, you know, if it's intimidating, and I apologize for that, but your words are precious, even if you don't think that they are. So thank you for sharing. So please.
Hi, I'm Brian. That's some amazing stuff tonight. I can't expand much on it either. Some bells and whistles have gone off, things that make me feel good. Group, you know, just sharing makes me feel better. I wish I had something more to share about me, but it's just, I got a lot tonight and I feel better. I usually feel like I have to share to feel better, but not tonight. I'm good at going on to the next guy.
My name is Jay. My name is Jay, and I really don't think about it top or bottom. I just know I like big, plump, voluptuous butts. And they seem to like how I worship them, so. Yeah, it's basically all them. So I do whatever it is to make them happy. So that's basically it.
Thank you, Jay.
All right, hello. I'm Alex. To me, I guess, a top for right now, with my own half-assed definition that I just made up right now, is I guess a top would be a catalyst, like a catalyst for like all sorts of fun trouble. But I feel like a top would have sort of, they would know what's going on. They know how to do things. So I guess it's a catalyst. Top would be a catalyst for me to, as a method of discovery, you know, as my own, for my own little experimentations. And as a tool for me to go somewhere, I guess. So that's what a top is for me now.
Very good, thank you. Damn.
I'm Dan. For me, a top is a very difficult concept because I went through trying to get mentoring from different places, and it wasn't, not all my mentoring was available in San Diego. A few years ago, they didn't have discussion groups like this, so I had to go outside the community, the San Diego part of the community, but to other leather communities to find mentors. And basically, when I was a boy and submissive, I was always more of a masochist than a submissive. So I was always more into the beating, and it became more of the, if I show up in the community, if I'm not beaten, I'm not being treated properly. Which was really sad. And I've seen other people treated like that. And it pisses me off more than anything else. Mm-hmm. But my mentor has finally said, we're not going to collar you, but you know how, you know enough to protect yourself and protect the other people out there that are hurting. And at first, I couldn't even see that possibility in myself. Other people saw it first, and I trusted them. And it's kind of ironic that the one thing that I was most willing to submit to was their version, revisioning of me as someone that was capable of helping others heal, even while I deliver pain. I had never seen that before. I didn't know it was possible. So how could I see it? So when you talk top and bottom, I kind of see it more along the protective space spectrum. The bottom gives the trust to the top and says, I trust you to protect me while I experience, while we experience this together. And the top is, I am protecting you. You are under my protection for the duration of our interaction. And it's as simple as that. It's protection. And not only that, but for me, the cost of this cover was learning to love myself. Because I had only really tolerated pain up to that point. And I had to learn a different way to live. I didn't have any choices other than to learn a new way. So that's kind of heavy. But that's what happened. I learned how to love myself. And then other times it's like people will challenge me and say, well, you didn't get your hat the way I did, so... No. Yeah, because you chose not to be involved in my training at all.
Yeah.
And you claim that you only earned yours by learning to love yourself? So by saying that mine is invalid, you mean that I'm not worthy to love myself or incapable of being loved? Thank you for, you know, you've basically proven that you don't deserve yours, okay? Thank you. But, you know, I wouldn't go that far. But sometimes people will be very, very, people can be very mean, thinking, thinking that delivering pain or a sensation that painful sensation that creates endorphins that can be pleasurable, it's not the same as being mean. Being mean just means you're trying to sabotage someone emotionally. And that's just not acceptable. Thanks.
Good chair. Thank you. One of your better ones. I like hearing from Dan.
Bob Skip. Hey, that wasn't painful for me or you, so it's allowed.
What I'm going to do is I'll just leave it open so that anybody wants to share, you're welcome to do so. We're going to open it up, but I'm going to do a brief editorial bouncing off what Dan said, and then we'll just open it up. As I say all the time, I am an approval-based master. I'm not a disapproval-based. The way that I explain it is that I was really, really savagely abused as a child. I'm one of 10 children, and I was the one that got all the bad stuff. And my siblings have confessed to me that they feel terribly guilty to this day, that all that energy went into me instead of them, that they felt glad that it was me instead of them. We've had generations of that kind of abuse in my family, and I was the one who stopped it in our family. I spoke to my siblings and very passionately convinced them that it was time to break the cycle of abuse. As a result of all that abuse, I have a very dark soul. I have a lot of unexpressed rage. I have a lot of savagery. Now, I could choose to be a bully. I could choose to be dismissive and demeaning. I could be degrading of other people. And I choose not to. I choose to be not that. I choose instead to only express that demon side of me with people who are actively looking for it and grateful for the attention. And I bring it up to their level and no further. And that's the choice that I make every day. And there are people out there who actively seek to be abused. And I can't be the guy for them. And that's okay. You know, there are people who, their reaction to being abused as a child was to seek out other people who will degrade them. And that is the only way that they can feel that they're getting the proper kind of attention. And they do exist. They tend not to hang out with us. A lot of people who adhere to that philosophy find me kind of creepy. Because I'm too sticky, gooey, affectionate, approving. And that's not what they're looking for, so they tend to go elsewhere. And that's fine. You know, I'm not trying to drive anybody away. But one of the things about me, and one of the things that Dan said that really rang a chime, was being protective. Show of hands here, who is protective by nature? Yeah. We attract a large number of those kind of people. We really do. That is just part of our culture, our local culture. In order to be protective, somebody has to have moral outrage. That's a good thing. Because you say, I'm not going to stand for that. That's a good thing. Because in order for us to have a civil society, in order for us to have a culture that is supportive, we have to take responsibility for each other. It's just built in. There is no other option. So that if something suddenly goes sideways at one of our events, long before it becomes harmful, long before it becomes tragic, long before it becomes epic, somebody handles it while it's still small. That has been happening a lot in the last week. Michael, would you tell us about what your efforts have been like this week? In terms of what happened.
Deaded and redeadeds. I'm always the diplomat, and I will try to give a suggestion, and I'm redundant with it, because that's all I have to say. We just had a thing on Facebook with some people that were unhappy. And I just suggested that they come to the Wednesday night meetings, and I had to do it twice, and then The response that I got the second time, I just backed out of it. I walked away. And that's usually what I'll do. I will give my response, and I didn't give any judgment or anything. I just said, you know, it's there's always a lot going on in the big activities, and the Wednesday night is the best thing I could, because then you get to meet people one-on-one. You get to interact with them. And then when you see them out, everybody goes, hey. It was basically people not taking responsibility themselves. And
you were making sure that they knew what their choices could be.
Yeah.
Very good. But see, nobody put any money in his pocket for him to do that. Nobody, you know, is obligated to do that kind of thing. But the reason why he did it is because he can't not do it. It's his nature to want to jump up and say, hey, there are choices here. You know, this is what you can do about it. I had to kind of drop a nuclear bomb on the person involved in order to end the drama. I do it very rarely. It's not something I choose to do. It's not something that I'm eager to do. But sometimes in order to end things, I've got to do the definitive thing. And I know we're being very vague here, using an awful lot of non-specific verbs and nouns and all that. Just basically I said, okay, enough responding to the drama quake. You know, we're done. And they're, okay, and it ended it. So I grew up basically immersed underneath 50 feet of high drama. So I recognize it from a long distance away. But in order for this to become, to continue to be a stable society, in order for us for people to feel safe to show up and post something without having other people be trolls, we have to have people who say, here are your choices, and you need to be responsible in what it is that you're posting. You know, they may not like to hear it, but it's sort of like that thing with taggers. If somebody does their mark on the side of a building and nobody cleans it up, then it tells other taggers that this neighborhood contains people who don't care. But if it gets painted over, they say, oh, I'll go to a different neighborhood. And see, that's what's really going on here. We're being hyper-responsible. The metaphor that I use is like lick the end of the finger, and you reach out, and you put out the fire long before it becomes sick. And see, that's what we're doing, not just on a one-to-one basis, but that's what we're doing as a culture here locally. So thank you for sharing that to me. It's very nice. Okay, so once again, I'm gonna go ahead and open it up to general discussion. Anyone have something they want to say? Yes, please.
Yeah, I just wanted to expand on Dan. According to my background, I also pursued the self-immolation world, right? So pursue pain because that's what I thought love was. Pursue rejection because that's how it was presented. But eventually, I too learned through the eyes of other people to love myself. And I still struggle with that, but I just only surround myself with people that nurture that. And I don't hang around people because they say it. I hang around people because I feel it. And that's a reason for being here as well. Because you just feel that you're okay, and that you're not just okay in yourself, you're okay as being part of something, part of a group. And that's huge. And then you take that to the one step further on the earlier discussion on top and bottom, and really it's all about the exchange and respect between two people. And that's the ultimate piece of it. That's the ultimate expression.
And I think kind of like looking at that exchange again and looking at a larger picture, I read a book about 3 years ago now called Kushiel's Dart, which just really changed the way that I looked at my own submission. And one of the things it spoke was kind of about the idea that there is an overall global balance of power. And so what I consider myself a submissive because I think that's the best way to make the general population understand what I do or what I am. I'm not really a masochist, but I can absorb aggression, if that makes sense. And I think that does end up being part of the balance. There are those of us that can absorb another person's aggression. There are those who have perhaps an excess of aggression, and if they have the opportunity to, in a healthy way, experience that, that part that is a part of their truth. I think we as submissives
serve a great purpose in balancing out those that do have that aggression. And I'm glad that we are seeking out and nurturing people to actually accept their topness or their dominance in a healthy way. Because again, I think that it's overall it serves a purpose to the global balance. So I think it's bigger than just the two people.
Please.
My experience is really limited, but I really think there's a lot more to it than just someone having a lot of aggression and someone taking a lot of aggression. I can take a lot of stimulation, but I don't see it as, I'm not taking it. I'm being given something. And when I, experienced what I experienced, it was a gift. It wasn't as if they were doing anything to me. They were doing stuff for me. And I didn't feel like they were being aggressive in any way. It was more of a gift. It was all done out of love. And, I never once felt like I was being beaten. I was, I was being given something. I don't know if that makes sense. But.
Show of hands. Anybody relate?
Okay.
There you go.
Yeah, I would never let anyone who's aggressive touch me.
Well, and I guess I do want to kind of, I guess, temper that message. I think that there's aggression or whatever you want to call it. There are people who are able to enjoy dominating another person. We can find ways to do it in a healthy way, or you can go home and kick your cat or backhand your partner. So if that makes any sense, I think that if that's a part of your being and you never have a healthy way to express what you want to call it, testosterone or whatever it is that you want to, that which makes a person a natural top or dominant, I think, again, that's something where I think that we can serve a purpose in helping to tease that out in a more healthy way.
I think the wrestling would be a good way of doing that instead of, yes, I totally get it. Because then you're equal and you're getting out your aggression and you're both getting what you want. I get it. I get the whole thing.
Perhaps tickle wrestling?
Tickle
wrestling. Yes, please. Yes. Yes, it's the next movie because he said it was like hurting cats.
Show of hands, guys. Let's keep it organized for a little while. Okay, so anything else that anyone would care to share from our rather more quiet people? Not required. Because it just means I'm going to editorialize. And be warned.
What?
Hmm?
Nothing.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Can I say something?
Please.
Yeah, it's fascinating to me that there's all this stuff out here that I didn't even know about. I'm tired of being vanilla, boring shit, and it's not what I thought it was. All this other stuff I used to, the vlogging and all this, going to Folsom Street for the first time, it shocked the hell out of me, and now I want to go back. I appreciate everybody sharing their stuff, because it's like, I've been out for a long time. I've been gay longer than I've been, straight, or whatever that means, but it's these, I lived my life like this, as a good little Catholic boy, and now it's going like this, and it's fascinating. So, thanks.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we actually, I don't know how long ago it was, but it was probably over a year ago when we talked about being way overly too religiously upraised. How long ago was that?
About a year.
About a year, yeah. Yeah, we had lots to share about at that time, but yeah. My main complaint about being raised Catholic, and yes, I'm editorializing again, a lot of you have already heard this, but I consider it to be nothing but lies. The only thing I remember that I've retained from 12 years of Catholic school is the Golden Rule. But that's so for every religion on earth. That's true for chimpanzees and gibbons. It's basically wired into us. It's not a big surprise. But all that Baltimore Catechism crap, all that stuff about relationships and all the rest of that stuff, I think we pretty much figured out in the modern age that relationships don't really work that way. But enough about that. That's one of the ones where I get all, I start, spittle starts flying in the air. You were going to say
something?
Well,
I just heard something the other day. It's the platinum rule, the golden rule, you know, do unto others as you have them do unto you. The platinum rule is do unto yourself, don't do anything to yourself that you, you know, if you wouldn't do it to somebody else, don't do it to yourself.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a good one. How does that relate to you?
Oh, me? I am probably much more tolerant of people than I am myself.
Show of hands. Anybody else feel that?
Yeah. Oh, I'm much more tolerant of other people than I am of myself.
We can be our own worst critics, yes. I know. Well, anyway, gentlemen, I think I'm starting to fade. So I do appreciate all your sharing, and I know that we're ending a little early. As I've explained before last week, I am on a special doctor-supervised diet, which means that I poop out very quickly. In fact, if you want to watch, no. TMI. What is it? Where's my TMI?
I know a few people you can send the video to.
I know. Well, anyway, so let's do a few announcements.
I got one too.
Yes, please go ahead. Oh, well, announcements. Why don't you start?
All right. Well, because you brought the Catholic thing, I was thinking everybody has to go see this play, The Divine Sister.
Pass
if you're not a good Catholic, you won't go. Maybe if you want, I'll get her the rule out and she'll slap you if that makes you feel better. But it's not all official yet. The play is playing at the Diversionary, so anybody could go anytime. But if we're going to try to make it, the Leather Foundation is doing something on Thursday, June 27th. It's a night, and then an hour beforehand there'll be appetizers and hors d'oeuvres having it catered. So it's a good night to go. If you're going to make a night to go, go on maybe that night. And there'll be leather folks. You could be in gear. So it's whatever you want. And I'm going to have friends and family there. My mom and dad are out of town, or else they'd be there. So it's going to be kind of a mix, a real mix. And the sisters, I think there will be some sisters of
perpetual indulgence.
I think they're there almost every show, but anyway, there'll be more out.
They did Leather Foundation put the Facebook event up, so it's on the management page.
I'm just not
a
Facebook
guy.
Yeah,
no, I heard it.
Thank you.
$5 individually that I can
have
access to.
I need to,
but it is officially out there, so it's posted on the Fetish.
So that's 2 weeks from tomorrow. Okay, over at Diversionary, which is over here in University Heights. On the 22nd, which is coming up very soon, that's what, a week and a half, something like that. What is tomorrow? Whatever, I'm so burnt out.
It's the next Saturday.
Yeah, so it's a week from Saturday?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's going to be the big sexual play party out in La Mesa. If you're not on the list, come talk to me. I will get you on the list. I'm the only person that I know of who has the right to add people. They trust my judgment. They trust that I'm going to send people who are players and who are well-socialized grown-ups.
Okay. Did you add that list of people from the last time?
I believe I did.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. But then again, I should check.
Okay.
So please remind me.
Okay.
Yeah.
How big is it?
Pardon me?
You said a big...
Well, this one that's coming up is the Solstice Party. They usually get about 160 guys.
That's big.
That is big. Yeah. Let me see what else. If you read the newsletter, there's a lot of other stuff.
Harness party.
Harness party for sure. We need to talk about that. Who here has not been to the harness party?
You should go.
Yeah, you should go. The reason why, okay, I'm going to brag, I'm the one who designed it. I have hosted hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of just dance parties alone. This is not necessarily a dance party, but it is still in the same theme as the events that I've hosted many, many times in the past.
Are you going to flog people?
Oh, there's going to be four of us.
He needs to be flogged.
Yeah, that's where we played last time. Duly noted.
No, he's really excited about it.
Isn't that nuts? So here's how it works. Okay, there's going to be four tops, no waiting. Do not stand back and wish somebody will pick you. That's not how it works. You march right up, and you say, me, next.
Okay, because that's what we're there for. We're tourist attraction. Just so that you know. I mean, all you know, that's the way I see, just so that you guys, all you tops that I'm training, pretty soon you're going to reach the status that I am, where I actually am registered as a tourist attraction with the city of San Diego. And there's great tax, there's wonderful tax benefits. There's wonderful tax benefits. See, however, you have to recertify every year on your birthday in order to get the tax benefits. There's three tests, the written, the oral, and the anal. So, yeah, I could go on and on and on, but I won't. But anyway, having expressed that. So the harness party, the point of it, it is the most sociable event. I honestly, one of the experiments that we did with it, I'm deeply proud of, and this is one of my absolutely proudest achievements. I've been doing an awful lot of watching to see what happens. I'm always looking for patterns. Well, one of the things that I said, this will be 3 months ago, when I said, I'm supposed to be the host. I don't want to be. People said, Tony doesn't want to be. Well, then that made him want to read the next line. I said, I want you to do it. I said, I want every guy there to take on the task of making sure that the new guys feel welcome. I said, the rule for the night will be no lonely people allowed. If you see someone off by himself and he is shy and he's unsure and he's broadcasting, I don't know what the hell's going on here, that's the guy you want to talk to. Bring him up to your friends and introduce him around. You will be doing a virtuous act. People really took that to heart in a big way. That's why it was already a great event. Suddenly it just spiked. Because you look at the pictures. I've got a bunch of pictures that people take. And all you see is teeth. Because everybody's grinning. Not because they're tweaked out on something. Not because they're drunk. They're just happy. You can pick up your camera and point in any direction and go flash at random. And they have no idea you're going to do it. Just go bam. And all you see in the pictures is happiness. They're grinning. Where do we see that? But we have it every damn month. And see, that's what we bring. We bring something absolutely majestically, wonderfully new so that the new people fit in very quickly. Even if they're not sure how to describe it. A lot of people don't even have the vocabulary to describe what they're seeing. But they know they like it. It's like, damn, you know, how do I do this? You know, how do I fit in? How do I get closer? Let's all, see, I'm empowering everybody here. Do it again. Take it on. Go up to the new people. Make sure that they feel welcome. Hug as much as you want. Even if they think it's like, what the hell is he trying to do? Do it anyways. The reason why is because we want to charm people into sticking around. We really do. That's how come we have these wonderful guys here. That's why every time we are at an event, the energy level goes through the roof. I think, how many people were there at the Eagle on Saturday night? Show of hands. Was that a fucking rocking party or what? Yeah. And we made it a rocking party.
Yeah,
every one of us.
The part where I was up on stage.
I'm surprised you can still sit down.
Yeah, really. Really true.
Oh, that was only for about maybe 2 days or something.
The point is that what we're doing is we're representing how we can be at our best. We really are. Not by going around with a stick up our ass saying, I'm better than you, but just by being authentic every moment. We're all time slicing. We're being the moment. We're being present with each other. And everybody says, my God, I want to fit in with that so badly. I can't imagine a way to improve it. The numbers every month at Harness are improving constantly. Constantly. I mean, there's never been a down month. It's just like growth like this. The reason why is because people bring their friends. I go up to the new people. You know, when I'm not vlogging people, I go up to the new people and I say, how did you find out about this event? They say, oh, my friend's right here. Told me about it. You can't pay for that kind of advertising. And I'll look at them and I'll say, am I a good guy? They say, oh, hell yeah. Do you like the newsletter? Fuck yeah. Do you think he should be on the list? Yeah. And they sign up like that. We get tons of new members that night. It's the easiest thing in the world for people to want to be part of something when they're surrounded by success in every direction. No matter which direction you look, it's wonderful. And see, that's what we signify as a culture. Where else
in the gay men's community, are you seeing this? That's not a rhetorical question. I mean, really. The closest equivalent we have in, let's say, the imperial court, which I know almost nothing about, but the whole house concept, you know, where there's the house of Fabergé or whatever, and, you know, there's the queen mother and there's the princess wannabes or whatever. I don't know. I'm not part of that culture. I'm an outsider and I can't speak with knowledge. But in our group, in our culture, in the gay lesbians community, what we've brought back is where we're able to attract really good people and then they stay. We don't just attract them and then they go home. They come back and they want to be a part of it from then on. That is really what's happening right now. The thing, I don't know if you guys have read my newest editorial about it, where we are in 3 years, but see, this is where the turbocharged dynamo that drives our community right now is you guys. You know, and I want you guys to be really clear that there's a lot of people who are counting on you to just keep on being the way that you are, because they want to have the bravery to be the way that you guys are. When they see you guys in pictures, having a rocking good time, you know, you guys have seen it, you know, you know, you may not see their face when they see you. But see, what we're doing is we are signifying what the gay Leathermans community can be, should be, and will continue to be in 2013 and beyond. And that's all I can do, is just stand back and admire that. I want you guys to be really clear. You have a lot more influence in the world than you realize. Even when you're new and you're shy, when you step up and you take a chance, there's people watching. And they're wishing they were as brave as you are. You know, they're hoping that they're going to have as close a friendship as you're already developing in our group. That your status is raising in our group all the time. That's why I'm tasking you with different things. That's why, you know, Dan's my right-hand man. If he gives me feedback, if he gives me information, I always listen. Because he and I are very different from each other. He's logic-based. I'm out in the fucking clouds. But suddenly he's... Yeah, really. Thank you. That costs extra. Yes. Yeah, no, really. But see, that's the thing, though, is that we're all bringing our A game. We're all doing our own contribution. I mean, I'm really enjoying the hell out of this, so thank you for indulging me. But you guys have to understand, this is the best that exists on Earth, really. You guys get to take it for granted that we can have this kind of connection with each other, that we can build these kind of brotherhood, friendship, relationships, that honestly, I don't see any reason to end them. Think about that. Think about where we're going to be in 40 fucking years. Your Papa Tony 40 years from now. Start getting practice. But in order for that to happen, though, we have to have this continuing supportive system. So what happens if I get hit by a truck, you know, walking out of this place tonight? The work that I've been doing...
The truck would be coming.
Yeah, really. That would be a very, very unhappy truck, no doubt. But the point is that I'm doing everything I can to make sure that there's continuity after I'm gone. I'm working my way out of a job, I promise. I'm a visionary, but there's a bunch of others in this group. I am a hard worker, but there's a lot of others in this group. I have set a tone that other people are going to want to continue long after I'm gone. And I'm doing everything I can to elevate people in the community who I see have big hearts and lots of character and have the necessary virtues and values to lead us into the next phase if I'm gone. And that's why I'm doing the work that I'm doing, because this needs to continue. It's not about me. It has become about us. The people in this room are not just random people. You guys are the ones that when you show up on Saturday night, lightning strikes. It's going in every different direction. We've got stuff going on Saturday night. The complaint that a young guy had was that he showed up there and he didn't know how to connect because it was just tumultuous. It was like a 15-ring circus going on in every direction. We thrive on that because what happened is everybody said, my turn. Everybody was just like, let me at it. Is it free? I mean, are we ready? Okay, I'm going to go for it. Everybody brought their A game. In order to do that, we have to have a basis for trust. When we share here in this room, and we understand each other better when we open up our hearts and people say, you know, that's a hell of a guy. I rather like him. Yes, he shared some uncomfortable stuff, but, you know, we all have that. But the more you share, the more you contribute in this environment, the more people are going to give you credibility for the long run, the more you share from your heart. We don't want you to bleed all over the place. That's not our goal. If you do, that's fine. But that's not...
I've never bought a plane before.
I'm aware of that, man. You and me. What I'm saying, though, is that for all you guys who held back, and I apologize, I'm actually going to step on to a different position here and just ask, since we had so many people that didn't share tonight, was it the microphone that held you back? I'm looking at you specifically.
It's just being new.
Got it. It's okay.
This is
that's
only
normal.
My second meeting, so.
That's normal. That's perfectly normal. How about you?
Yeah, what's that? One, two.
Yeah, it's a very broad topic, and I haven't formulated cogent thoughts about it. Let me, as long as you've got it, let me put it this way. I have a very skewed view of tops. Because the one I know best is somewhat unusual, to say the least. So, you know, I heard words like protecting this integrity, leader, and I can relate to all of that. But there's only one that I really know very well, and I don't know how to translate that to the general populace, because the one I know is quite special. So that's it.
Just for that, I may learn to forgive you someday.
Are we back to that cue card again?
Yes. It gets real gooey at this point. Well, yes. So who else did not share? Okay. Tell us about that.
Okay, so this is our third meeting that we've been to here. After the other two meetings, we went to a bar, and we talked about stuff that I'd never been able to talk about before. And the stuff we talked about today, I haven't talked with Gary yet, and I didn't feel comfortable putting out in front of everyone before speaking with Gary.
You realize it's going to happen every time. So you guys are going to have to negotiate that be okay. Because otherwise, you know, you're going to be verbally constipated for a long time. So I appreciate that. Yes, please, John.
I just wanted to mention that I am in a relationship, and my partner and I, we have excellent communication. And just as long as you communicate with each other about what you're planning to do, what you would like to do, your partner's going to back you up if he loves you and he wants the best for you. And, you know, that's the name of the game if you have a partner. So I just want to share that.
And speaking supportively, again, the reason for this particular event, there's a lot of different reasons for this one. I mean, I brought a lot of reasons to why I created this. Primarily, where else do we have this discussion? It's so easy to get caught up in the silly shit. It's so easy to get up and caught up in glib, you know, banter, or, you know, just dismissing people by saying something silly and whatever. This is all about going deep. Tonight hasn't been super deep, which is fine. You know, it's the way it should be. But in order for us to have a conversation, first we have to have the space for it. And if you guys haven't had this conversation before, this is your perfect opportunity. So I just invite you. Don't feel any pressure. And also relating back to what you were saying, again, your name?
Ron.
Thank you. Making sure everybody gets to know you. It is utterly normal for people to be careful about what they say, because the last thing you want to do in a group like this, we clearly know each other. We're clearly comfortable with each other. The last thing you want to do is to step on your dick, metaphorically speaking, and have people immediately judge you, say, oh,
don't have to pay attention to him at this point. It's built into us. It is actually wired into us. As males, not gay males, not as leather men, but as males, it is normal in our wiring that the moment we get hair on our balls, when we go through puberty, we suddenly have a strong urge to want to run with the pack, to not be a geek, to not be wrong. We don't want to dress wrong. We don't want to talk wrong. We want to use the lingo. We want to fit in. We don't want to have people pecking at us. That's why bullying is so strong in high school, because it just happens to be right at that proper time for everybody to start going, hey, hey, he's different. It's just wired into us. I don't like it. I wish it would go away, but it's in our wiring. What we're doing with this group is we're letting that go. Ideally, really what we're doing is we're putting you guys through a midlife crisis, whether you need it or not. Because midlife crisis is when you stop caring about trying to run with the pack and you start being more self-expressive. When you say, okay, I'm done with trying to please everybody else and meet everybody else's standards. It is time for me to find out what the hell makes me happy and quit apologizing for my existence. That's a natural male passage for all males. Frankly, my opinion is that the concept of crisis is a female term for males. I consider this to be a normal, natural male passage. It's only a crisis if the nest is in danger of losing its main provider. I've guided a lot of guys through that phase, through midlife crisis. Some people do it earlier, some do it later, but the average is around 39 to 42. That's when guys can go through it. It's a natural passage. What we're doing with this group is we're making it less and less necessary to be hitting it like a brick wall. Because you actually are eased through making changes in your life. You're encouraged to blossom, to grow, to change from being the chrysalis to being the butterfly. Or, you know, if you want to be more butch, the eagle, the mighty eagle! You know, find help, you know, coming out of the egg. But, you know, that maybe that's a better, you know, more butch metaphor. Anyway, so then, but being able to find out how big and strong your wings actually are. That's what we're doing with this group. We're encouraging people so that you don't have to skid. Skidding is what you do is when you're resisting change that you're desperately in need of. Skidding is where you hide. You stuff your feelings. Skidding is where you take a lot of drugs or alcohol to stifle those passions, those feelings that you feel ashamed of or that you're not ready for. What we are is we are the anti-drug. Because it becomes a lot less necessary to use a prop in order to get through life, because you're actually dealing with life as it actually is. I think we can all agree with that. What we're doing this Friday night at Harness, you'll notice you won't find a lot of really sloppy drunks. You won't, I mean, like just Saturday night, undoubtedly there were some intoxicated people in the building, but did you, I mean, this is a rhetorical question. Did you see them acting out and disrupting things? The reason why is because even the rowdiest, most obnoxious drunks, take a look at all these guys who are serenely on the same level and were just interacting and interplaying and everything flows like one big massive organism. They go, I'll try my shit later on. Because that's what we bring. That's what we brought. That's what we're bringing Friday. That's what we're bringing in all of our events. We have a lot of really good stuff coming up. There's some stuff that's in the works that it's too premature for me to announce, but trust me, there's stuff coming up. We got some amazing things happening. The play party, like I said, if you want to be on the list, make sure that I find out about it, and then I'm going to test somebody else with making sure that I remember. Because last time I forgot until the day, and it was a bad thing, and I apologize for that. I'm not good at details. So having expressed that, anything that anybody would like to share at all? Yes, please, Ian.
This is kind of in the announcement.
Yeah.
This isn't particularly a leather event, but there were a couple different pieces of drama that happened on the Facebook page that were explosive. Tomorrow night, partly in response to that, someone has organized a sexual assault and prevention committee meeting at Baby Cakes at 7 p.m. Myself, Leather Sir Ron, and Chris Campbell will be there, kind of from the leather community. It's open to anyone, but I just wanted to put it out there if it's something that any of you feel strongly about, or that because part of it happened within the context of, a perceived context of a leather community, I think that will probably be a topic of conversation, so I think it's important that some of us are there to address it.
Has anybody invited the local GLDT liaison for the San Diego Police Department? Because I have their contact information.
I don't know, but I...
Yeah, I called them up to message and haven't heard back.
Yeah, it's not my event, but I just want to make sure that people are aware of it. Yeah, 7 p.m.
In where Baby Cakes is. It's over there by Rite Aid over in Hillcrest. I'm sure that there's more stuff, but right now, frankly, I'm kind of at the bottom of the barrel as far as remembering a damn thing. Someone else had something? Dan?
No.
No. What?
Jar.
Oh, the jar.
Okay.
Yeah, it's been around once, but they were always
anybody,
open to that.
Anybody want to take a drink?
Yes.
Any other
announcements?
I'm sure there's more. Yes.
I just wanted to say, some of you may have seen that I had posted about some negative responses I've gotten to posting some pictures after I was blogged on my Facebook page. And I had mentioned the negative things that had come up, and I want to say thank you for everybody that wrote back words of support. That was really pretty awesome to, you know, kind of bring me around and not make me feel quite so awful about it. But the one thing I discovered yesterday and today as a result, and I verified it with them, is I noticed a couple of my Facebook friends were suddenly... members of the Fetish Men San Diego Facebook group. And apparently after I had posted the same thing on my wall that I had posted on the Facebook group about what had happened, and it's funny that I posted that kind of from a negative point of view, but they were thrilled that I actually mentioned the name of the group because they were wondering how they could get involved with the same sort of thing.
Nice.
So, something good came out of it, which is awesome. So, just for every negative comment that was said, the group ended up with two more people that are now interested. So,
nice. Yeah, I like that.
You just can't help with being an ambassador.
Yeah.
Well, just a quickie overview as far as today's newsletter. It's the largest one I've ever put out, so chance for good you guys will not absorb it. I may as well give you just an overview so you know to look for more information if you want. The upcoming movie night, for those of you who have not heard, we don't have a date. If we did, then I'd announce it, but we don't have a date. It won't be for probably at least another 8 months, because they have to take care of things as they go along. It may be as soon as 3 months. I don't know, because it's a general interest funny movie. I mean, I just, on the page that's linked here, I have Boogie Gomez doing her big scene. And if you've never seen the movie, you need to see this preview just to give you an idea. You'll just scream. It's so funny.
Does the movie have a name?
Yes, it is called The Ritz.
Oh, I remember that movie.
The Ritz.
Oh my God, Treat Williams was like fucking out right out of high school.
Yeah.
He was the sweetest little thing ever.
Yeah. And we don't want to spoil. We don't want to spoil the surprise about Treat Williams.
No.
No, we
no.
don't. Yeah, that's yeah. But anyway, so then the movie, in my opinion, is right up there with Some Like It Hot, which was voted to be the funniest movie of the century or something. It's just as funny. The reason why you haven't heard of it is because it came out in 1976. This was before
Tom DeLuise in it.
No.
No.
Different guy.
Oh.
The guy looks like him, but it's not him. No, what happened is that in 1976, America wasn't ready for a movie that wasn't dismissive and contemptuous of gay men. This one is based in a bathhouse, based on the Continental Baths. And it was a hugely successful stage play. It's the best ensemble you've ever seen in your life. It's a major fucking funny-ass movie. Pardon me?
Rita Moreno.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
By the way, Rita Moreno still remains the only one who has won all four. Tell me. Come on. The Tonys.
The Golden Globe.
Yeah, she's won them all. And, you know, this movie is the role of her entire lifetime. Seriously. It was the role she was born to play, and she made it up herself. And the movie, the theater play, was actually written around her character because the playwright saw her perform it at a party. Oh, I've got to make a movie about it. I mean, I've got to make a play about that. So it all resolves around this Bette Midler-type character in a gay bathhouse.
But then it's large amounts of gay men, and nobody's degraded, nobody's treated contemptuously. It's just a scream. And there's Oscar winner F. Murray Abraham, who won for playing Gandhi shortly thereafter, playing a dizzy bathhouse queen. And it's just a scream. It's the funniest goddamn movie. And I specifically requested it, and they said yes. Okay, so then, let me see. The review of the first annual Fetishman reunion weekend, it's big. The article itself is only about that long, but the links in it lead everywhere. I mean, there's more pictures. And I'm pointing at Scott because he is our new event photographer. I've been training him for months, and he has learned, and he is brilliant at it. And if you see the really good-looking pictures, he's the one who did it. Okay? Yes, we love that.
Thank you.
Yeehaw. Okay, so then, let me see. As far as what's coming up, this is very important. I forget who came up with the idea. It was Aaron or Eli or one of those guys. You know the pride flag in Hillcrest?
Mm-hmm.
Well, in San Francisco during Folsom Street Fair weekend in Dorielli, they changed the rainbow flag for a leather pride flag. So why don't we do that in San Diego? So they're doing a fundraiser to do that. They're almost at their goal to get a great big flag to fly up there, because in August we will be doing, basically Leather Pride is coming back. They call it Romp, but honestly, it's really San Diego Leather Pride, which features every event happening at the theater over in Golden Hill. So we're going to have a lot of stuff coming up in August. I will be announcing it. But in Hillcrest, they will be flying the flag, and I will make sure that there's going to be lots and lots of wonderful things centered around what goes on. That's very important, because we're going to be attracting a lot of out-of-towners for that weekend. A lot of out-of-towners. They're looking for a reason to celebrate with us. They're curious as hell about San Diego. They want to absorb our energy and bring it back, inspiring them. Okay, Leather Realm, during San Diego Leather Pride, late July, we're going to be having, San Diego Pride, there's the Leather Realm. It is the largest area at Pride, but you don't see it because you go past and there's a big rainbow flag, big leather flag, and you walk around it, and they ask you for your ID, and suddenly there's this huge area. But it's very supportive, it's wonderful, it's a great space for demonstrating what you're good at, it's great for educating the general public.
Workshops?
Oh, lots of workshops, lots of talks, lots of educational stuff, lots of demos, things like that. It's a great way of educating the general public. I'm going to limit myself to helping do the setup and doing the teardown, because last year I was taken away from the Leather Realm in an ambulance because I ran out of steam. I just basically didn't take good care of myself. So scared the fuck out of everybody. But I got to tell you, though, it was one of the peak experiences of my life for a very odd reason. I'm laying on the grass. I'm fading in and out. I'm thinking, oh, God, what if this is it? I can't move. What the hell's going on? But I had at least 200 people who were gathered around me. Oh God. The people actually lined up in rows to provide me with shade. I mean, if I was laying in a coffin, it would be too late for me to appreciate all that much love. I got to enjoy it while I'm still alive. So that's extra points for me. So getting back to it. So James,
don't pass out deliberately.
No, never. Where's my fainting couch? Okay, 2 weeks from today, I think it is, on June 26th. Is that 2 weeks from today?
Yeah.
Yes. James, that is his coming back into the community. He will be here for that. He asks that people dress up in gear if you have it. It's not required. There's no obligation. But he wants, that's his thing. He loves to see people all geared up. He's been away from us in Afghanistan since November, and he's really, really hungry to get started as a community leader again. And this is what he loves to do, is to do gear invasions of events. So then after this, tonight, we're going to head on over to Red Wing for karaoke, yes, and wings, and beverages of your choice. Well, 2 weeks from now, we're going to do it again. And we're going to be doing that with our James. We're going to get him up there in front of a microphone. Okay.
Also, one of the things we talked about, I think probably is
impromptu salon or cigar salon in the back as well. So if you smoke them, bring them. They've got the big patio back.
Oh, good. That's a good idea. Would you email me?
Yeah, I will.
That's a good idea. See, that's how we work. We we brainstorm. We crowdsource. Yes, you were saying.
That was it.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so Ron is going to be hosting this Friday. Let's all make sure that Ron feels very, very gratified by our attention. Where's the picture? Come on. Oh, there it is. Okay. Ugh, it's not cooperating. Anyway, so this is Ron, for those of you who may not know him.
Yeah.
But he is our host. My request of everybody is that this Friday at Harness that you make sure that Ron gets acknowledged. He is on his way up as being a community leader. He is taking on more and more tasks as what I call a patriarch in the community. He is taking responsibility for an awful lot of stuff. He's a great guy. So let's all show him support. You guys all know our Ron. Yeah, we know our Ron. Yeah, he's come a long way, just like all of us have. He's a great inspiration to me. Okay, so there's undoubtedly more. Oh, this Tuesday coming up, is hands-on demo night. Who here, show of hands, has been to hands-on demo night?
I've never been.
Well, hands-on demo night at the Eagle is what I call junior high. And that's intentional. So if somebody wants to learn about kinky stuff, then you can't find a safer and better place to do it, except outside of a bar. But, you know, it's our place, because that's a place that we have, and I haven't found a better alternative. But the reason why it's really nice is because it's okay to be clumsy, it's okay to be a beginner, it's okay to be inept, it's okay to try stuff and look like a fool, because we're all at that level. I'm there as the dungeon master to make sure that rowdy drunks don't come over and drop their pants and try and, you know, get us enticed into their game. But I teach, other people teach, everybody practices. It's a way for us to become more proficient. And so, like, why don't you guys talk a little bit about what this has done for you coming for these hands-on demos? You too. Okay? I'm going to run to the bathroom. I'll go back.
All right. Well, they're a lot of fun, and it's, as Papa Tony said, it feels really safe to practice. The first time I picked up a flogger, it was really clumsy, and it was awkward, and I didn't know what I was doing, and it wasn't very coordinated, but I went back, I worked on it, I practiced, I've gotten a lot better at it, and these events are really fun, and it's a great way just to, if you're a willing bottom, that's great, because the tops are learning, so come out and help be good practice for emerging tops. But don't worry, because Papa Tony is watching, so you are safe. And it's just a good place to practice. I mean, it's been mostly flogging. There was a little paddling last time. Some rope play, which was nice, getting to practice some technique. So those are mainly some of the things we do in there. But it's a really casual environment, it's fun, and it's a great way to learn, and I've learned a lot by going to these, so it's great. You want to add anything?
Sure. Yeah, there's been a good number of people that have come that it's been the first time they've been flogged, and I think it's a really great environment for that. Papa Tony and some others there that are doing the flogging and have more experience will kind of walk through like a good way to throw, in so much as you're like kind of watching the level that the bottom is at, like, you know, are they at a 1 or are they at a 10, like with their, you know, tolerance sort of scale. And it's something where it's small enough that it's not like really intimidating, like you're getting flogged in front of like a huge crowd or something like that. And yeah, it's just it's a great safe environment to learn either way. You want to add anything? He also takes awesome pictures.
Yes.
Yeah, happy to take pictures and happy to not take pictures. It's really helpful if you just tell me which, because I don't read minds anymore. If you want to try being flogged for the first time, this is a great place to do it, because there are people that that do know what they're doing. So yes, there are cops that are just starting, but won't necessarily pair you up with a beginner top with a beginner bottom. So don't, if that is a concern, don't worry about it. And certainly all your limits are respected. You also get checked in on. There's a lot of communication that goes on. Other things, as Brett and Brian said, sometimes people bring rope. We've also had one time somebody brought a violet wand.
Jeremy.
Look at the smile. So. And also paddling. So certainly flogging is a staple. Rope would probably be second, and paddling. I mean, everybody has at least one or two hands to use. And if you have any questions, step up and ask. If you want to hang back and watch, that's fine too. And it's all very very open and welcoming. And, you know, so I would definitely recommend it. To come by and check it out and see what it's like. Welcome back.
Okay, so the topic for tonight was top talk. Next week, bottom talk. It all relates back to the larger arc of what we're talking about. So those of you who like to get your thoughts together, now would be a good time to start. So thank you, gentlemen. Let's have a lovely evening, and I will see you at Red Wing shortly.